All right.
Hey, sorry we're late.
That was a little bit confusing, and but that's all right. We ultimately made it, and I was just watching my reactions as that was happening. It was kind of fun, really, right?
Thought you were pretty calm and cool.
And so we can be heard. Obviously, I see that. Excellent. Happy to see you here too, Marge.
Hey, Mom.
We have finished up last week. Jacqueline's not with us. She's in India with the crew. And what we do is we always start with a prayer, and it's a quick prayer. It's nothing ostentatious. It's always just the prayer for the willingness to hear what needs to be heard and to do what is inspired. Allow it to be done through this body, through this mind, so that we would come to the realization of truth. Amen.
Amen.
And we're gonna start off on page 68 of NTI, and it's in the book of Mark. But it is at the top of page 68 where we will begin. We had read a little bit of it last week, but we're gonna start at the top nonetheless, because it kind of feeds in real nicely. Jesus matured in his listening to spirit. As he listened and trusted more. And so more was revealed to him. Jesus began seeing the face of Christ in everyone. And in everyone, he knew that he found his self. In his joy, Jesus invited anyone who would listen to follow him, that they may know the joy themselves. He celebrated and relaxed with people. Because he enjoyed them and felt at peace around them. But many who watched Jesus were suspicious of his behavior. They did not see as Jesus did. They saw differences in people, and the differences they saw frightened them. I'm going to go into that because that leads into the differences. But it's just it's really so sweet to see how Jesus, when you can only see yourself, there and you don't see as anything as outside of yourself, there can be no threat. And first of all, there must be such great relief in that after a lifetime of and lifetimes of seeing things outside of yourself, and then finally seeing that everything is within yourself. So the joy that the wellspring of joy that must create has to be just emancipating, and it's just sweet. When I see other people who are on the path, and I hear a transcendent moment, or I hear people sharing on the program or other programs, I really take great joy in listening to their transcendence because it's mine also. And I find that that's so helpful to take the joy of what appears to be another's experience and make it my own. And it's ours. It's not isolated. It belongs to everyone. It belongs to me as well as it belongs to that quote unquote other. So I will continue now with the reading. Jesus was not alarmed by their fear. He welcomed them to join him also, explaining that he had news to teach that showed there were no differences and there were no sinners among them. But they could not hear Jesus' words because they were not ready to acknowledge the truth in them.
Yeah, that's that that's where Jacqueline and I kind of got off track the end of last week, where he's saying there were no differences and there were no sinners among them, and that's of course, that is of course to despite appearances, despite what our senses are saying. And I was noticing the reading that we're doing in the class for Regina's class that's follows this one. It says in Luke, it says something like, here it is, we're all guided to learn the truth by following the path of unreality. So the point I was trying to make then and make trying to make now is that is that the reality isn't doesn't seem to be consistent because we don't have a consistent source, because we rely on perception, we rely on our senses. So the reality will become consistent, and that's what it said about Jesus. He was maturing in his listening because he was starting consistently hear the Holy Spirit instead of having to rely on his senses.
Excellent. Thank you, Connie. And also I see, but they were not ready for these words, and so they did not understand. Basically, he's telling them that that they are God themselves. If they look within, they will find God within themselves. And to understand yourself for centuries and centuries as this little dot on a little planet, and then somebody starts saying to you that you're God, first you're going to say you're crazy, and then you're going to call him a blasphemer. No, that's not God. God is almighty, God is this and God is that. So you can understand their confusion. There's their they their own magnitude and magnificence. Obviously, because it wasn't part of their experience, and so they really just couldn't hear it. Where am I?
Right.
Jesus's listening and understanding increased, the traditions of Jesus's world began to fall away from him. It was this letting go of the ways of the world that his people could not understand. So they asked him about it. Jesus explained that as one comes to know God within the heart, only God within the heart comes to be important to him. And all that is not within the heart loses its importance. But they were not ready for these words, and so they did not understand. And again, we see they were. It was counterintuitive to them. They were in the mind. They were in their mind, and in their mind, they had the laws of Moses. And they, to them, that was the truth. It was a mental truth, the mental truths of all these rituals, all these traditions. Wash before eating, and don't talk to the Gentiles and whatnot, and don't commiserate. So they had these laws, and but they were bound in their mind. And Jesus is saying all that is not within the heart loses its importance. And so we can understand the laws of Moses were centuries old at that, I don't know, 2,000 years old at that point. So they had been living those words, living the words, living by words, and they were being asked now to live by spirit. Jesus, did you want to say
I
something?
was just going to say, and as we pointed out last week, I think that the laws of the land were very important to the folks, because it was what brought order to their world,
Right.
and to a barbaric world, was these laws, and that was the only
Stable.
semblance of stabilization and
Right.
civilization
Right.
that they really had.
That's a good point. Yeah. Jesus loved the people and wanted to help them understand. And so he gave examples through illustrations. Awareness of truth is a newness that fills you with light, different from anything you seem to know before. How can one be filled with such newness, such light, and such difference, and not seem to be different on the outside? What is inside is seen outside. So by seeing the outside, you know the inside is changing too. Continuing on page 69. In his joy, Jesus went about his work following the prompts, guidance, of the Holy Spirit and rejoicing in gratitude for all that was given him. But those who saw the change without the willingness to see the light could not see the light that Jesus followed. They thought him to be a horrible sinner, for he broke the law and yet claimed to lead men to God. Jesus was patient with their accusations, for he understood their confusion. He explained that the law was made for man, but man was meant to transcend the limits of the law. Since his accusers were not willing to see the light, they could not understand his words, and it scared them that people were being fooled by this man. To see the new, the laws that they're obeying, they have become, besides representing the truth as they knew it, they also become forces of inertia. These laws that were being discussed and talked about and philosophized for 2,000 years, they became idols. The laws became idols, and Jesus, the laws became idols, and also they took great joy. These men of who follow the law, having chess matches with these words. They used to see who could be the most creative within these laws, and who could elucidate them in such a way that they actually felt this pride within themselves, because they were able to see into the depth of these laws and be able to create different to take different meaning out of it that hadn't been seen before. And so Jesus is saying, let it all go. All those words get in the way. Words are carriers of intelligence. They're vehicles of intelligence. They carry mental constructs and concepts. So he's asking for the people to let go of something which has been so sacred. These are sacred. These laws are just so sacred to them. And so, again, you can understand, we're going through the same thing right now. Everything that we know, we're being asked to let everything that we think we know, let it all go. Everything. All the relations, the country, the world, political affiliation. It's all, we're being really asked to let all of it go, to be willing to let all of it go. There's plenty of help because we need that help, but that is what we're being asked to do, and that's what they were being asked to do. And so Jesus was very patient with them, because he had been an observant Jew, and He understood to a degree their attachment to these words. Okay, so I'm going to continue, or did you want to?
No, really.
We're going to continue with NTI Mark chapter 3. Jesus taught in the synagogue, and people listened with great interest and curiosity. This bothered the Jewish religious leaders, who feared people had less interest in what they had to say. They planned to discredit Jesus in front of all the people, so that the people would turn away from him. They knew the people trusted the law, so they challenged Jesus on his understanding and practice of the law. And it's really interesting because this is, Jesus was no longer observant of the laws, but he was a master of the laws. So this is where they thought they would be able to catch Jesus, because he was not observing the laws. So they thought that he was in ignorance of the laws. But he was a master of the laws.
Yeah, or they thought he was a criminal.
Right, right. Yeah. Jesus was not fooled by their intent, and he knew that his answers would not convince them to see differently.
Yeah, their minds made up.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. They had their minds made up. And again, we're asked to see ourselves in all of this.
Right.
Because every character in here is us. Every single character that we come across in this book, it's us. Jesus turned all of this over to the Holy Spirit and asked for Spirit's guidance. It was Spirit's will to give all who would see an opportunity to see differently now. And so the Spirit turned a shriveled hand into a healthy one, that all men may know that distortion can be replaced with newness when willingness is given for newness to be received.
You know, and I wrote in my note that this is the miracle, and it's not the shriveled hand turning into the healthy one. The miracle is it was the opportunity to listen to Spirit's will to see things differently. In other words, for the miracle is for just a moment dropping your own fear and opening your mind up and being receptive to there being another way.
Beautiful.
And so truly, when we're able to do this, then the miraculous seems to appear.
The manifestation. Right.
And in this particular instance, it was a shriveled hand turning into a healthy one.
Right.
But the true miracle,
right,
is the change of the mind, is the openness,
beautiful,
of the mind to hear the Spirit.
That's beautiful. That's great. Thank you, Connie. Okay. Also, I see Jesus. He's got such joy now, and it's because instead of an individual trying to live a sacred life or a spiritual life, now he's got this spiritual life living through him. It's a complete, and it's just so effortless. It's just so, everything becomes light. Everything's cool, you know? So you could just see how light Jesus is now. He is being carried. You know, he's no longer carrying the world on his shoulders. He's being carried. And you could just see his relief and gratitude for that.
Right. And I think it's, as a friend says on the board there, he had to start with that will to see things differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this whole thing's talking about, where it talks about Jesus matured in his listening.
Mm-hmm.
So you start with a will to see things differently, and then you begin to hear, and then you begin to get be led by that,
right.
And with and as that experience deepens, and you're willing to change your mind, then you're receptive to that miracle.
That's a great point. And also, and he matured in his listening. That doesn't, so often we think that that means he's told what to do, he's guided into certain directions. So often the maturity of listening is listening to what you're not, what we used to identify ourselves with. It says, no, not that, not that, no, not that. That's, you know, it's called neti neti or whatever, but it teaches you what you're not. So that by deduction, it's by deduction, deduction, and then you want to, you come to a greater understanding where the truth can be imparted after you get rid of so much of what you thought you were, which are everything we know, we think we know.
Yeah, and that's that purification that they talk
right.
about in the fifth principles.
Right. Great. Okay. I'm going to start with verses 7 through 12 again. Jesus found the work of teaching to be difficult, for few seem to want to hear the good news of the kingdom and take it to heart. Word and rumors of healing spread quickly. People came from far. Far and wide to seek healing for their bodies without concern for their hearts. Often Jesus felt led to retreat from the crowds. Lost within them, he felt useless. So in solitude, he sought to find his purpose again. So Jesus, having been revealed, having had a revelation of a revelation of himself, not the ultimate truth, but having had a revelation, it now seems so obvious to him. And so a lot of times we think it should be obvious to other people. We think, oh, it's so simple. This is the truth. It's evidently, it's self-evident. It's been made so clear. And we think it should be so easy to teach and to impart to others. It just as difficult as it was a process for Jesus to go through, everybody, you know, despite the knowledge that lay before them, they can't see it, they can't hear it.
Yeah, have you ever tried to teach spirituality to an unwilling audience?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh man, I'm just hitting my head up against the wall,
right.
And you know, there's no receptivity going on,
right?
And
right,
yeah. Where just the opposite is possible. I mean, you can feel the light and the joy in the room when somebody's there. The two of you join in that,
right?
But without that, and you know, if you've had these crowds and you got people that are sitting there doubting, going, yeah, sure,
right?
Let's see that shriveled hand, and that's all they're looking for.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't know exactly what it says in the Bible, but it says shake the dirt of that town from your shoes and move on.
Right.
Because what's going to happen is they'll drag you down before you lift them up.
Yes. Somebody was telling the story that Jesus had his most difficult town to teach in was his hometown.
Right.
Said,
hey, yeah. He was too familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He couldn't be spiritually
enlightened.
No. He's a boy down the street.
Right, right. Yeah, that's funny. Excellent. Verses 13 through 19. Connie's in charge of looking at the board. I'm not a board gazer, so I'm barely able to get the computer up and the microphone working and whatnot. So. Connie's taking a look at the board. And I'll continue with verses 13 through 19. It was in silence that Jesus received guidance to pick 12 who seemed interested in healing the heart and focus his efforts on teaching those 12. In this way, the word he had learned would spread, and many would discover truth through them. So Jesus found 12 who had asked him sincere questions of the heart. These 12 he called apostles, and he promised to teach them all that he had learned, that they might teach others.
So all he was looking for was a little willingness. So he was looking for those that had sincere questions of the heart.
Hmm. Right. Right. Not intellectual innuendo and whatnot. Many did not understand Jesus. The pressure put on him was great. The crowds wanted their bodies healed. His family wanted him to come home and rest. The Jewish leaders wanted him quieted. And so one day, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was given the opportunity to address all of them. In spite of their misunderstandings, people grew quiet when Jesus prepared to speak, so he was able to address them without talking in a loud voice.
Yeah, so whenever you give it over to the Holy Spirit, things start being arranged for you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's really cool. It's because it's within him, and yeah, I'm not going to go further with that. You said it beautifully. Thank you. You say that I am possessed of demons and I drive out demons. But if I am a brother to the demons, why would I drive them away? A house divided cannot stand. I am not helpful as a demon if it is demons I drive away. You say I have lost my mind and forgotten who I am, wandering the countryside like a lunatic. But does a lunatic know love and peace as I do? Does a lunatic have great friends as I do? I have not forgotten who I am. I know who I am fully. A house divided cannot stand. And with this wisdom, I stand lovingly by my brothers now. You say that I have magic to heal the sick and injured. But I say one man cannot heal another. Look within yourself and find what keeps you from being healed, that you may overcome that thing and be healed.
And there again is the the purification of the 50 miracle principles, where he says, look within yourself and find what keeps you from being healed. What is it? What concepts do you have about yourself and about others that need to be turned over to look at from a different position? Through was well, as Regina would teach through inquiry, as Byron Katie would teach like the work. What are those things do you need to overcome? What do you need to give up? What causes you consternation? What is blocking you from being healed is these preconceived concepts. So Jesus is saying, look within yourself and find those things, and that you can give them over and be healed.
Excellent. Thank you, Connie.
Thank you.
Each one knew when Jesus was talking to him. And although they may not have understood his words fully, they saw his sincerity. On this day, Jesus was able to walk away from the crowd in silence. And I feel like that sentence 19, and although they may not have understood his words fully, they saw his sincerity. And I always felt like that with The Course in Miracles when I first started reading that. I didn't understand, mentally, intellectually, I didn't understand much that was being espoused. But there was something, the sincerity of it. There was something there that said
In
it doesn't, it doesn't, it doesn't come, you know, it doesn't collate as true. It doesn't follow logical sequencing. It doesn't follow linear thought patterns. But there's something there that there's truth there. I can feel it.
and authenticity.
Authenticity. Yes, exactly. All right.
Yeah, and you know, and once again, I have a tendency to harp on the same things over and over again, so I have to beg your pardon. But you know that when you get down to that purification and that inquiry process, or Byron Katie's The Work, what you're getting down to is an authenticity, because we have so many patterns of habitual thoughts. We just, anytime you think of this, your thoughts naturally go to this negative aspect, or go to, people always do that, or that's the way things are, or Murphy's Law, or whatever you have, instead of having your thoughts be authentic. Instead of allowing yourself to see the truth, we take the perspective of that we're not worthy to. It really is a self-worth issue on looking at these thoughts and getting to the bottom of them, instead of letting them be superficial in nature.
Yeah, the authenticity, which is really just to always be truthful with yourself, you know.
Authentic.
Yeah.
How does that go? Maybe somebody can help us. The Four Agreements. Isn't that one of the agreements? Be authentic with your.
Be truthful. Yes. Yeah, I don't know exactly, but yeah, maybe
Yeah.
somebody will post it. We'll see. All right, we'll continue with verses 31 through 35. Jesus' family followed him and his apostles to a quiet place, and they asked to be admitted inside to speak to him. Jesus knew they had come to ask him to return home, so he sent a messenger out to them to explain that his family is the family of God, and his duty now was to do as his heavenly Father asked. Jesus also sent an invitation that his family join him, for the family of God is one. And that's really listening. That's really, I mean, he really dismissed the concept of the earthly family unit. The earthly family, you know, he dismissed that as a concept. And not only that, but he sent a messenger out to explain that, you know.
Yeah, he didn't say that. He extended an invitation for him to join him. He
Right.
wasn't going to go back and
Right. He
make him
wasn't
join
going to,
him,
exactly.
because it was bigger than just his
Right.
family at this point.
Yes. Yeah. If they want to come, fine. But yeah, like when he sent a messenger out, the messenger can explain it clearly, and he also keeps himself away from temptation. Avoid the near temptation, you know. Avoid temptation. You know, why put yourself in line for temptation when you don't need to?
Well, and I think earlier, in this chapter, it was talking about, and of course, in the workbook lessons, it's talking about not seeing differences where there aren't any differences.
Right.
And of course, at this point, I think Jesus may have been along his path far enough to recognize that,
They are.
that everyone is his family. I
Right.
think somebody talks in
Right.
maybe in this version of the Bibles where it says, who's my mother?
Right. Who is my mother? Who is
And
my brother?
right,
Right.
that they are one and there are
Right.
no differences.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you, Connie. All right, we're on NTI, Mark chapter 4, page 71, right in the middle there, starting at verse 1 through 20. Once again, Jesus found himself by the lake with a crowd of people seeking physical healing. And again, we keep on seeing this desire for physical healing. And I meant to comment on 2 times ago when I saw it referred to, people really interested in this physical healing. That is the and we still there is still this obsession with the body. There is still this obsession with the body. And really, the body is such is such a primary obstacle to the realization of oneness, of truth. But you see the obsession with the body, the belief that one is the body, even though we all know this body's going to die. You know, there's no, you know, there is no, so we can't even explain what we do by means of intellectual explanation. Why we protect this body for with tooth and nail, and not investigate the what animates the body, what gives this body life. So again, it's just interesting to see this obsession with physical healing. And I know I'm not.
Not much has
Again, it's
changed
not a
over
judgment. It's
2,000
not
years,
a
has
judgment. No, because I understand it. I experience that myself, so I get it. I don't get the logic of it, but I get the idea of it. I'm right there with you in your insanity. You
it?
know? He asked his disciples to prepare a boat, and he stepped into it so he could be moved away from the shore. From there, he was able to talk to the crowd because with him a short distance away, they quieted down to listen. Jesus knew that the people had not come to hear the good news, and yet it was the good news he yearned to share. Jesus bowed his head to give the circumstance to the Holy Spirit.
That's your prayer at the beginning that we started this class with. It's your prayer of willingness.
Right. Absolutely. And it's becoming the way ego used to be nature. Now this is his the immediately he goes to spirit.
Yeah, to immediately goes to let me be open to
Yeah,
it,
right.
to have the spirit come through me.
Right. Yeah. He gave his willingness to do whatever spirit would have him do. He was willing to speak from the boat. He was willing to leave this place at once. When he had finished giving all he thought to the Holy Spirit, he his face opened his mouth and these words
Cool. I mean, he gives everything he can think of. Okay, I give you this, I give you this.
right.
He gives it all over. You got the circumstances, as I know it to the fullest. Here it is, Holy Spirit. What would you have me say? Okay,
Yeah,
here it comes.
he emptied
He
himself
became the
so that
epistle,
nothing could
right?
get. Yeah. Is worthy to have a seeds dropped.
That's great. That's great. In fact, that's he's going to say that in a few minutes.
Oh, okay. Where are we?
31.
Okay, all right, 31. Jesus left the crowd by boat as they discussed this strange parable among themselves. The apostles were also puzzled, for the parable made no sense to them. And they knew their master had many good words he could have shared. They did not come to hear my words, Jesus explained. They came for healing. All healing is of the Holy Spirit. So I gave myself to him that I may be used. And it was his words you heard through me. I saw the image in my mind, and I described it as I saw it.
In his own experience, yeah.
Right. The apostles did not understand. Listen, Jesus said in love. Let me tell you fully what I saw. Our Heavenly Father is the farmer. He loves all of his children. His children may look at one another and see differences, but the Heavenly Father sees none. To him, we are all the same and equally worthy to know him. In this story, we are the soil. The seed is the Holy Spirit's word. So our Father sows the seed on all of his children alike, seeing no differences among them. But within our perception, there are differences. Some of the children seem like the path. They have no interest in the Holy Spirit's words, and his word does not sink into their hearts. That is the choice they have made. So we will let them go their way in peace. Some of our Father's children are like the soil in rocky places. Excuse me. They will eagerly join us and seem to love his word. But when circumstances seem to get tough, they will turn away because they do not seek the Father above all else. It is comfort they are satisfied with. So it is temporal comfort that they will continue to seek. We will let them go in peace and wish only blessings on them. Some are like soil among thorns. The word may spark some interest in them, but they are too preoccupied with the world to let it go and pursue the word. Let them go in peace, with blessings and in love. And the others are like seed sown on good soil, because they are ready for the word at this time. They will come and work with us, live like brothers with us, and just in our work of sharing the word. Yeah, so that's that. Jesus settled in with joy in his heart to continue teaching the deep truths he had learned from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, he's so full of joy. And that's all I can do. He's ready to share.
Right, yeah. We must show ourselves to the people that they may see our light. For the light within us is the light of heaven.
And that's really restating the last paragraph.
Yeah, right. We must show ourselves to the people that they may see our light, for the light within us is the light of heaven. And that was his destiny also, because there are people who have equal experiences of understanding the Holy Spirit, but this particular soul, this particular Jesus, who knew himself as the Christ, had this particular destiny, and it was to be an example of the light, to not come to the understanding. There are people, anybody who comes to this understanding is always a blessing to the world, but his destiny was to be an example to millions and millions and millions of people, and and to show that the light of heaven is within each of us.
Well, I think that's what he's trying to get his apostles to,
right,
to step up and
to do the
and
same,
see.
To do this and to do the same as him,
yeah,
right?
To see it and then be it,
right?
And to say that's what our purpose is,
right? Right. Okay. In this way, and for this reason, the light must extend within you too. For as the light extends within you, it extends within the world. The apostles did not understand, so Jesus shared his message in another way. Do you bring in a lamp and place it under a bowl? Yeah, I guess we're coming right up to, I'm not going to go into this parable because we don't want to rush through it. We're coming up on closing time, so it's last call. and we sure do appreciate the opportunity to share with all of you, and we're gonna be listening interestedly to the following program, the program that follows us, and we're joyful to be a part of what's going on here. So, turning it back over, turn the mic back over. I
Good
think
night,
it's
guys.
Gloria, I hope, right, Gloria? How do we get rid of that mic?